welcome on to NBA Recap. Today is Wednesday, March 2nd, and we had six games on in the NBA last night, so let's get right into them. Starting off in Washington, the Wizards defeated the Pistons, 116-113. In Boston, the Celtics beat the Hawks, 107-98. In Toronto, the Raptors just edged past the Nets, 109-108. In Houston, the Clippers defeated the Rockets, 113-100. In Minnesota, the Timberwolves beat the Warriors, 129-114. And finally, in Los Angeles, the Mavericks beat the Lakers, 109-104. So we will break down all six of those games in just a moment, but first, if you'd like to follow the show on social, we are at NBA Recap Pod, or you can just search YouTube or smart speakers for NBA Recap Podcast. And if you enjoy the show, consider subscribing or leaving a review. It really helps get the word out. All right, so starting off today in Washington, where the Wizards beat the Pistons, 116-113. The Wiz were led by Kyle Kuzma. He had 21 points in the starting lineup. And they also got double-digit scoring from seven other players, including all four of the other starters, 15 points for Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, 16 points off the bench from Thomas Bryant. Whereas the Pistons were led by Jeremy Grant, he had 26 points, and they also got 20 from Cade Cunningham, the rookie, and 19 points from Sadiq Bey. And this was a pretty close one down the stretch, obviously just a three-point game in the end. The Wizards were actually leading throughout the majority of the fourth quarter. In fact, they had a double-digit lead with about 8 minutes to go. After a layup from Killian Hayes, they were up 97-87. And so it looked like the Wizards were going to cruise to victory in Washington. But the Pistons showed excellent resolve, and they actually fought back. The Wizards' offense sort of stagnated in the middle of the fourth quarter. And the Pistons were able to tie the game back up with 3 minutes to go. Sadiq Bey hit a couple of free throws to tie it up 104-all. So it was an exciting finish, but the Wizards were able to pull it out in the end. Kyle Kuzma knocked down several free throws down the stretch and helped the Wizards secure the victory. Frankly, I think they deserved the win in the end. Overall, they shot the ball very efficiently, 50% from the field and 50% from beyond the arc as well. The Pistons were 47% from the field, so that's not bad, but they were just 29% from three. So the fact that they were in this game as closely as they were is pretty impressive. They did only have 12 turnovers, which is pretty good for a young team, whereas the Wizards had 15. So not exactly the most emphatic win here for the Wizards over the 14th place team in the Eastern Conference, but a win is a win either way, and so they will take it. They now improve to 28-33, which is good for 11th in the Eastern Conference. They are one game out from the Atlanta Hawks in 10th, as they lost last night, and then they are three games up now on the New York Knicks in 12th. And the Wizards are negative 2.8 in the point differential, which is still actually 13th worst in the conference, but they are 4-6 in their last 10 games. And as for the Pistons, this loss takes them to 15-47. So they are down, like I said, in 14th in the East. They're actually tied now with the Orlando Magic in last. Both of those teams are 15-47, but the Pistons are in 14th thanks to the tiebreaker. They are negative 9.5, though, in the point differential. That is, in fact, worst in the conference, and they're 3-7 in their last 10 games. All right, so moving on to the box score, and the Pistons were led, as I mentioned, by Jeremy Grant. He had 26 points in 36 minutes. He was 9 of 17 from the field. He had 3 threes, 3 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal, and 1 block. And they also got 20 points from the rookie, Cade Cunningham. In 32 minutes, he was 9 of 18 from the field. He was 0 of 3 from beyond the arc, though. He had 9 rebounds, 5 assists, and 1 steal. And then they got 19 points from the sophomore, Sadiq Bey. He was 7 of 14 from the field. He had 2 threes, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, and 1 steal. And then just 9 points for the other two starters, Corey Joseph and Isaiah Stewart. Stewart, the big man, was 3 of 9 from the field, but he also had 9 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 1 block. And then Joseph, the point guard, in just 16 minutes was perfect, 3 of 3 from the field. And off the bench for the Pistons, Kelly Olynyk had 10 points in 21 minutes. He was very efficient, 4 of 5 from the field. He had 4 rebounds, 3 assists. 7 points for Killian Hayes in 27 minutes. He was 2 of 6 from the field, but he had 7 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals, and a block. Fantastic production from Hayes throughout the box score. And then they also got 6 points from Hamidou Diallo, 2 for Rodney Magruder, 3 for Frank Jackson, and 2 for Isaiah Livers. And as for the Wizards, they were led by Kyle Kuzma. He had 21 points in 34 minutes. He was 7 of 15 from the field. He had 9 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 blocks. He did have 5 turnovers, and he was negative 12 in the plus-minus. Interestingly, only one player in the starting lineup was positive in the plus-minus, and it was Corey Kispert. He was plus 12, which was significantly better than all four of the other starters. The rookie, he was 4 of 11 from the field in 36 minutes. He had 11 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 steal, and 1 block. Then they also got double-digit scoring from three other starters and three guys off the bench as well. 15 points from Kentavious Caldwell-Pope in 32 minutes. He was 5 of 12 from the field. He had 3 threes, 3 rebounds, 3 assists. 13 points for Hal Neto in 24 minutes. He was 4 of 7 from the field, 4 rebounds, 3 assists. And 12 points for Daniel Gafford. In 20 minutes, he is back in the starting lineup, and he was 5 of 6 from the field in this game. He had 4 rebounds, 1 steal, 3 blocks. And off the bench for the Wizards, they got 16 points from Thomas Bryant, the backup big man. Wes Unsfeld Jr. just loves to distribute those front court minutes equitably amongst his entire team, so it's frustrating for fantasy owners, but it's probably for the best in the long run for the Wizards. Bryant played 22 minutes in this game, so a couple more than Gafford in the starting lineup, but he was 6 of 10 from the field. He had 6 rebounds, 1 assist, and 1 block. And then they got 11 points from Rui Hachimura and Ish Smith. So Hachimura, in 21 minutes, was 4 of 9 from the field, including 3 of 3 from beyond the arc. And Smith was 5 of 8 from the field. He had 4 rebounds and 8 assists. So really solid production from those three off the bench, Hachimura, Bryant, and Smith. And then they also got 4 points from Tomas Satoransky and 2 points from Denny Avdia. All right, next up we can move on to Boston, where the Celtics outlasted the Atlanta Hawks 107-98. The Celtics were led by Jason Tatum. He had 33 points on 12 of 25 shooting, and they got 16 from Marcus Smart. Jaylen Brown went out of this game early. He only played 3 minutes before exiting the game, but they were still able to win in the end pretty easily. They also got 9 points and 13 rebounds from Robert Williams. Whereas the Hawks were led by Trae Young, of course. He had 31 points. He was also nearly injured in this game. He was undercut by Marcus Smart on a 3-point attempt. He rolled his ankle. It looked pretty bad, but he was able to continue playing in the game. And Marcus Smart ultimately got a flagrant foul for his troubles. But anyways, they also got 12 points from Danilo Gallinari and 25 points from Bogdan Bogdanovic off the bench. But the Hawks just fell apart in the second half of this game. They were leading pretty significantly in the first half, specifically the second quarter. They were up by double digits. In fact, after a couple of free throws from Trae Young with about 3 minutes to go in the half, they were up by 15. It was 56-41. So the Hawks with a commanding lead in the second quarter. They had overall outscored the Celtics 28-19 in the first and 37-32 in the second. But then coming out of the locker room at halftime, I don't know what Ime Udoka said, but the Hawks were just ice cold and the Celtics were on fire. They quickly erased the deficit. They could not buy a bucket for the first, 4 minutes of the third quarter. And so the Celtics not only tied the game up about midway through the third, but then it was just back and forth. And then they just took over the game in the fourth quarter, outscoring the Hawks 31-13 overall in the third, and then 25-20 in the fourth. So it was really that third quarter where everything flipped, specifically the beginning of the third quarter when the Hawks just, like I said, could not buy a bucket, and they pretty much lost the game in that stretch. Overall, they shot much worse than the Celtics, though, 43% from the field and 22% from three, whereas the Celtics were 47% from the field and 31% from three. They did have 14 turnovers, whereas the Hawks only had 10, but the rebounding was also heavily in the Celtics' favor, 47-37. So all in all, a pretty dominant game here for Boston, and with this victory, they now improved to 37-27. So that's good for sixth in the Eastern Conference, but they're just half a game now behind the Cleveland Cavaliers in fifth, and they are one game behind the Milwaukee Bucks in fourth. So it looks like the Celtics are going to continue to march their way up the conference standings. They are now 1.5 games up on the Raptors in seventh, and the Celtics are plus 5.4 in the point differential, which is best in the conference, and they're 8-2 in their last 10 games. And as for the Hawks, this loss takes them to 29-32, so they're down in 10th in the Eastern Conference, one game up on the Wizards in 11th, and just behind the Charlotte Hornets in 9th by a single percentage point, as the Hawks have played 2 less games. They are 2 games behind the Nets in 8th. They are plus 0.7 in the point differential, which is actually better than the Hornets and Nets ahead of them. They're 4-6 in their last 10 games. All right, so moving on to the box score, and the Hawks were led, as I mentioned, by Trae Young. He had 31 points in 37 minutes, 12 of 25 from the field, 2 3-pointers, 2 rebounds, 6 assists. He was negative 17, though, in the plus-minus, which was the team low. They also got 12 points from Danilo Gallinari. Most of the other starting lineup did not do a whole lot. Gallinari was 4 of 9 from the field, 1 of 4 from 3. He had 8 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 block. 4 points only for DeAndre Hunter. He was brutal in this game, 0 of 8 from the field. He had 3 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals. 5 points for Clint Capella. In 30 minutes, he was just 2 of 4 from the field. He had 11 rebounds. And 9 points for Kevin Huerter, but he was also very inefficient, 4 of 13 from the field. He did have 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, and 2 blocks, though. And off the bench for the Hawks, they were led by Bogdan Bogdanovic. He had 25 points in 37 minutes. He was 10 of 16 from the field. He had 3 threes, 3 assists, and 4 rebounds. Then they also got 5 points from DeLon Wright, the backup point guard, 5 points as well from Onyeka Okongwu, the sophomore big man, and 2 points from Gorgui Jang, the other backup big. And as for the Celtics, they were led, as I mentioned, by Jason Tatum. He had 33 in 39 minutes. He was 12 of 25 from the field. He had 3 threes, 8 rebounds, 7 assists, and he was plus 4 in the plus-minus. That was actually the starter's low. The high in that regard was Robert Williams, the big man. He had 9 points and 13 rebounds in 35 minutes. He was perfect, 3 of 3 from the field, 3 of 3 from the free throw line. And like I said, he was the team high, plus 19 in the plus-minus. He had 13 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, and 2 blocks, stuffing the stat sheet as he typically does. Then they also got 16 points from Marcus Smart, the point guard, in 37 minutes. He was 6 of 14 from the field. He had 2 threes, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. 8 points for Al Horford, the veteran big man. He had 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 4 blocks. And then Jaylen Brown, like I said, only played 3 minutes before going out of this game. He did have 2 points in that time, though. And off the bench for the Celtics, they got 18 points from Grant Williams and Derek White. They were both just on fire, specifically in that second half run where the Celtics were just dominating the Hawks. White was 7 of 13 from the field. He had 2 rebounds, 5 assists. And Williams had 7 rebounds, 1 assist. He was 6 of 11 from the field. So really good stuff from those two. And then they also got 3 points from Peyton Pritchard. Aaron Nesmith was 0 of 5 from the field in 17 minutes. All right, moving along to Toronto, where the Raptors just edged the Brooklyn Nets 109-108. The Raptors were led by Gary Trent Jr. He had 24 points, and they also got 15 from Malachi Flynn, 18 and 10 from Scottie Barnes, and 18 points as well from Pascal Siakam. There's still no Fred VanVleet for the Raptors, of course, still no OG Anunoby either, so shorthanded, but they got the job done anyways. Whereas the Nets were led by James Johnson. Obviously, they were without Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, and Ben Simmons still for this one, and so Johnson led the way with 19 points in the starting lineup. He was 7 of 11 from the field. Probably not a good sign if James Johnson is leading your team in points. They also got 16 from LaMarcus Aldridge. He was in the starting lineup as well, and 18 from Seth Curry, their recent acquisition. But this was a really close game throughout. The Raptors went on a run at the end of the first quarter, but then the Nets quickly erased the deficit in the second, and then it was back and forth throughout much of the second and third quarters. Then it was the Nets' turn at the end of the third quarter. They went on a run. They were up by 8 points at the end of the third. It was 89-81 heading into the fourth, but then they sort of stagnated at the beginning of the fourth quarter and allowed the Raptors to cut the deficit, and then it was just back and forth down the stretch. So this game was really exciting, and ultimately Seth Curry hit a clutch three-pointer with 50 seconds to go that tied the game back up. It was 103 all after that one, but then Gary Trent Jr.'s free throws broke the tie, and Patty Mills ultimately hit a layup with 12 seconds to go, but it didn't really matter. It cut the deficit to 2, but it was too little too late for the Nets. So some clutch free throws in the end from Gary Trent Jr., like I said, was really the difference maker in this one for the Raptors. And frankly, they didn't even shoot the ball that well overall. They were just 45% from the field, 30% from three, whereas the Nets were 50% from the field and 40% from three. So they had the edge in the shooting, to be sure. And on top of that, they only turned the ball over 12 times versus 13 turnovers for the Raptors. So they really lost this game on the boards. They were out-rebounded by Toronto 48-37, and that was one of the key differences in this game. The second chance opportunities for the Raptors allowed them to get back in the game at the beginning of the fourth quarter when they were trailing. Scottie Barnes just has a nose for the ball. He always comes up with a couple of clutch rebounds and putbacks. That's really where he does most of his damage, is on those little putback opportunities. I think Nick Nurse mentioned at one point that in their last game where he had like 28 points, he was like, we don't run any plays for Scottie Barnes. He just generates his own offense. He had 10 rebounds, like I said, in this game. And then Malachi Flynn, the guard, had 6. Pascal Siakam had 8. And then even Precious Achiuwa off the bench had 7. So they really dominated, like I said, in the paint, especially in the rebounding. And so with this victory, the Raptors now improved to 34-27. So they are still in 7th in the Eastern Conference, but they are now 3 games up on the Nets in 8th. And then they're 1.5 games, like I said, behind the Celtics in 6th. And the Raptors are plus 1.3 in the point differential, which is exactly where they should be in the conference standings. They've won 2 games in a row, and they're 6-4 in their last 10 games. And of course, the Nets are right below the Raptors in 8th. They are now 32-31 with this loss. They are 3 games behind the Raptors and 2 games up on the Hornets. They are negative 0.9 in the point differential, which, like I said, is not only worse than the Hawks, but it's also worse than the Hornets below them. And they are on a 2-game losing streak. They're 3-7 in their last 10 games. All right, so moving on to the box score, and the Nets were led, as I mentioned, by James Johnson, the veteran wing. He had 19 points in 31 minutes, and he was very efficient, 7 of 11 from the field. He had 3 three-pointers, 2 rebounds, 3 assists. And then they also got 18 points from Seth Curry. He was 7 of 16 from the field. He had 4 rebounds, 6 assists. 16 for LaMarcus Aldridge, the veteran big man. He was 6 of 12 from the field. He had 9 rebounds, 3 assists. And then 9 points for Bruce Brown. He was 4 of 10 from the field. He had 7 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. He did foul out of this game. And then 8 points for Patty Mills in 32 minutes. He was 3 of 7 from the field. He had 2 threes, 2 rebounds, 2 assists. And off the bench for the Nets, they got 11 points from the rookie Cameron Thomas. He was 4 of 8 from the field in 18 minutes. He had 2 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal. And then Goran Dragic against his former team, he had 10 points in 15 minutes. He was also 4 of 8 from the field. He had 2 rebounds, 2 assists. And then they got 9 points from Blake Griffin in 19 minutes. He was 4 of 8 from the field. He had 4 rebounds, 2 assists. And 8 points from the other backup big man, Nick Claxton. And he was perfect, 3 of 3 from the field and 2 of 2 from the free throw line. And as for the Raptors, they were led, as I mentioned, by Gary Trent Jr., 24 points in 39 minutes. Now, he was only 6 of 17 from the field, but he had 3 three-pointers, and importantly, he was 9 of 9 from the free-throw line. And he had 2 rebounds, 7 assists, and 2 steals. He was a team-high plus 20 in the plus-minus. Then they also got 18 points from Scottie Barnes and Pascal Siakam. So the rookie Barnes, in 41 minutes, he was 8 of 13 from the field. He had 10 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. And Siakam had 18 points on 7 of 19 shooting. He had 8 rebounds, 6 assists, and a steal. Then they also got 15 from Malachi Flynn in the starting lineup in place of Fred VanVleet. In 43 minutes, he was 6 of 11 from the field. He had 2 threes, 6 rebounds, 8 assists, and 11 points from Kim Birch. In 18 minutes, he was 5 of 7 from the field. He had 5 rebounds. And off the bench for the Raptors, they got 11 points from their new addition, Thaddeus Young. In 23 minutes, he was 4 of 9 from the field. He had 2 threes, 3 rebounds, 3 assists. And then they got 8 points from Chris Boucher in 19 minutes, the backup big man. He had 6 rebounds. And 4 points from Precious Achiuwa. He had 7 rebounds. All right, and next up we can move on to Houston, where the Rockets were defeated by the LA Clippers, 113-100. This was our best bet from yesterday. I just thought it was the safest bet to go with the Clippers to handily beat the Rockets in Houston, and that was indeed what happened. The Clippers were minus 7, and they covered that line pretty handily. They were led in the end by Ivica Zubac, the big man. He had a big double-double, 22 points and 12 rebounds. He was 8 of 12 from the field in 25 minutes only in the starting lineup. And then they also got 18 points from Marcus Morris and 17 from Reggie Jackson. Whereas the Rockets were led by the rookie Jalen Green. He had 20 points in 33 minutes. He was 9 of 21 from the field. They got 17 from Christian Wood and 12 from the sophomore Jayshon Tate. And then they also got 13 points off the bench from Alperen Şengün, and he really stuffed the stat sheet. We'll get to that later. But in the end, this was a comfortable win, like I said, for the Clippers. And like the Celtics-Hawks game, it was the third quarter where this game was decided. The Clippers were neck and neck with the Rockets in the first half. It was just a one-point game at the half, in fact. But then in the third, the Clippers took control and they outscored the Rockets 40-25. So just like that, they were leading by double digits heading into the fourth quarter, and then they actually expanded upon that lead even further at the beginning of the fourth quarter. At one point, the lead was all the way up to 21 after a two-pointer from Amir Coffey off of an Isaiah Hartenstein assist. It was 96-75. So it was basically garbage time throughout the rest of the game. The Rockets did cut into that deficit a little bit, but it was really a foregone conclusion from the beginning of the fourth quarter onwards. And the Clippers didn't even shoot the ball that well. They were 43% from the field, 41% from three. That is really solid. But the Rockets were just really inefficient, 39% from the field and 33% from three. They also had 14 turnovers, which is actually less than the Clippers. They had 16, but the Rockets were also out-rebounded by the Clippers, 45-55. So, like I said, all in all, a pretty easy win for the Clippers in Houston, and they now improve to 33-31. So that is good for 8th in the Western Conference. They are 1.5 games behind the Timberwolves in 7th, and they're now remarkably 4.5 games up on the Lakers in 9th. That is pretty stark. Does not look like any of those bottom half teams in the Western Conference are going to be making it into the top 8, including the Lakers. But anyways, the Clippers have a negative 0.5 point differential, which is about where they should be in the standings. They're on a 4-game winning streak, and they're 6-4 in their last 10. And as for the Rockets, this loss takes them to 15-46, so they are at the bottom of the Western Conference. They are 4 games behind the Thunder in 14th. They have a negative 9.6 point differential, which is worst in the entire league, and they are on a 10-game losing streak. So it looks pretty clearly, like, the Rockets, Pistons, and Magic are going to definitely be in the bottom three in some order. They're all really close at this point. And then I guess the Thunder would be the closest team other than those three. Because remember, with the new lottery odds, you want to be in the bottom four to get your best chances of one of those top picks. And so, yeah, I guess it's probably going to be the Rockets and Thunder and then Magic and Pistons. But anyways, back to this game, we can move on to the box score. And the Clippers were led, as I mentioned, by Ivica Zubac. He had 22 points in 25 minutes. He was 8 of 12 from the field. He had 12 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, and 1 block. Really solid production for the big man, Zubac, in just 25 minutes. And then they also got 17 from Reggie Jackson in 26 minutes. He was 6 of 16 from the field. He had 3 threes, 5 rebounds, 6 assists. 18 points from Marcus Morris in 28 minutes. He had 4 three-pointers, 3 assists, 2 steals. Then they got 11 points from Terrence Mann in 30 minutes. He had 7 rebounds, 5 assists, and 4 points from Nick Batum in just 22 minutes. He was 2 of 7 from the field. He had 4 rebounds. And off the bench for the Clippers, they got 11 points from the rookie Brandon Boston Jr. In 18 minutes, he was 4 of 8 from the field. He had 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal. They got 10 points from Amir Coffey, the shooting guard, in 17 minutes, was 4 of 10 from the field. He had 3 rebounds, 4 assists. And then they got 7 points from Robert Covington, their new addition, in 22 minutes. He was 3 of 6 from the field, and he had 8 rebounds, 4 blocks. 6 points for Isaiah Hartenstein, the backup big man. He stuffed the stat sheet as he typically does. He was 3 of 6 from the field, and he had 8 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals, and a block. And then 3 points for Semi Ojeleye, and 4 points from Luke Kennard. And as for the Rockets, they were led by the rookie point guard, the number 2 pick in the draft, Jalen Green. He had 20 points in 33 minutes. He was 9 of 21 from the field, just 1 of 6 from 3. He had 4 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals, and a block. He's been playing a little bit better over the course of the last couple of months than he was at the beginning of the season, which isn't that surprising considering that he is a rookie point guard, and typically it's a pretty steep learning curve for rookie point guards to get acclimated into the NBA. So it was a bit of a shaky start for him, but I think he's getting on track now as he gets more comfortable. And then they also got 17 points from Christian Wood in 31 minutes. He was 7 of 11 from the field, and he had 8 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 three-pointers, and 3 blocks. Then they got 12 points from the sophomore, Jayshon Tate. In just 20 minutes, he was 4 of 8 from the field. He had 2 threes, 9 rebounds, 2 assists. 9 points for Eric Gordon in 26 minutes, the veteran. He was 2 of 8 from the field. He had 2 assists. And then 8 points for Dennis Schroeder in 31 minutes. He was also 2 of 8 from the field. He had 2 threes, 4 rebounds, 6 assists. And off the bench for the Rockets, they got 13 points from Alperen Şengün. The other rookie, he was dominant in this game in 22 minutes. He was only 6 of 15 from the field, but he had 9 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals, and 2 blocks. Really solid production from Şengün throughout the box score. And then they got 8 points from Garrison Matthews. In 26 minutes, he was 3 of 10 from the field. He had 2 threes and 2 rebounds. 4 points for the other rookie, Josh Christopher. In 22 minutes, he was 2 of 8 from the field. He had 5 rebounds, 5 assists, and 3 steals. And then 9 points for Kenyon Martin Jr. in 24 minutes. He was 3 of 7 from the field. All right, next we can move on to Minnesota, where the Timberwolves got a rousing victory over the Golden State Warriors, 129-114. The Wolves were led by Karl Anthony Towns. He has just been on fire lately. Since winning the three-point contest at All-Star Weekend, he has just been knocking down shots like crazy. He had 39 points in this game on 14 of 22 shooting, including 3 threes. Just incredible scoring for Towns. And then they also got 22 from D'Angelo Russell and 20 points off the bench from Malik Beasley. There was no Anthony Edwards in this game due to that left patellar tendon strain. And then as for the Warriors, they were, of course, led by Steph Curry. He had 34 points. He had 5 threes. He was 5 of 16 from the three-point line. And then they got 14 points from Gary Payton and 15 off the bench from Damian Lee, but there is still no Klay Thompson or Draymond Green for the Warriors, and they look significantly worse, frankly, without both of them in the lineup. Minnesota just slowly but surely built up more and more of a lead over the course of this game. They outscored the Warriors 34-27 in the first, 34-29 in the second, and then they were neck and neck in the third quarter, but then they outscored the Warriors 33-27 in the fourth. So about midway through the fourth quarter, the lead was up to 19 points with 5 minutes to go after a three-pointer from Malik Beasley. It was 113-94, so a dominating win in the end for Minnesota, and they did shoot the ball very well, 52% from the field and 40% from beyond the arc, whereas the Warriors were just 45% from the field and 28% from three. That is really disappointing, and they had 17 turnovers. Now, to be fair, the Timberwolves had 16, but still, sloppy ball handling and inefficient shooting for the Warriors is a recipe to lose this game for sure. And so with this loss, the Warriors now fall to 43-19. So they are still in second in the West, but they're just 1.5 games up now on the Memphis Grizzlies. They are 4-6 in their last 10 games. They're on a 2-game losing streak now. They still have that plus 6.9 point differential, though, which is second best in the league. And as for the Timberwolves, this win takes them to 34-29. So they're in 7th in the West, 1.5 games up on the Clippers in 8th, and 3 games behind the Denver Nuggets in 6th. So these teams in 7th and 8th, the Clippers and Timberwolves, still have a ways to go before they're going to be able to catch the top 6. It looks likely to me that the top 6 will remain as it currently stands, and then the play-in game range might change a little bit with some of those teams below the Pelicans jumping in. But nonetheless, I think the Clippers and Timberwolves will in fact be the 7th and 8th teams by the end of the season. But we shall see. The Wolves have a plus 1.3 point differential, which is in fact 7th best in the West, and they're 6-4 in their last 10. Alright, so moving on to the box score. And the Warriors were led, as I mentioned, by Steph Curry. He had 34 points in 33 minutes. He did most of his damage from the free throw line. He was 9 of 9 from the charity stripe. He was 10 of 24 from the field overall, and 5 of 16 from 3. So not the most efficient field goals for Curry. He had 5 rebounds and 4 assists. 4 turnovers as well. And then 14 points from Gary Payton II. In 27 minutes, he was 5 of 10 from the field. He had 2 threes, 4 rebounds, 1 assist. The all-star starter, Andrew Wiggins, against his former team, had just 12 points in 30 minutes. He was 5 of 13 from the field. He had 7 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal, and 2 blocks. And then 6 points for Moses Moody, the rookie. He just played 7 minutes before going out of this game. He was 2 of 2 from the field, though. And 2 points for Kevon Looney in 27 minutes. He had 7 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. And off the bench for the Warriors, they got 15 points from Damian Lee in 27 minutes. He was 6 of 8 from the field, and he had 6 rebounds, 2 assists. 13 for the other rookie, Jonathan Kuminga, in 23 minutes. He was 5 of 12 from the field. 12 points for Jordan Poole. He was also 5 of 12 from the field. He had 2 rebounds, 3 assists. And then 4 points for Juan Toscano-Anderson, and 2 points for Otto Porter. And as for the Timberwolves, they were led by Karl-Anthony Towns. He was fantastic in this game. 39 points in 32 minutes. He was 14 of 22 from the field, 3 of 6 from beyond the arc, and he had 9 rebounds, 1 assist. He was plus 10 in the plus-minus, which was the starter's high. They also got 22 points from D'Angelo Russell. In 29 minutes, he was 8 of 17 from the field. He had 2 threes, 3 rebounds, 7 assists, and 2 steals. 10 points for Patrick Beverley, the veteran point guard. In 22 minutes, he was 3 of 9 from the field. He had 2 threes, 1 rebound, 7 assists, and 1 steal. 8 points for Jaden McDaniels, inserted into the starting lineup with no Anthony Edwards. In 23 minutes, he was 3 of 8 from the field, and he had 4 rebounds. And Jared Vanderbilt, rounding out the starting lineup, had just 2 points in 24 minutes. He had 8 rebounds and 2 assists. And off the bench for the Wolves, they got 20 points from Malik Beasley. He was on fire in this game in 28 minutes. He was 7 of 11 from the field, 6 of 9 from beyond the arc. And he had 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal. 11 points for Torian Prince. He was plus 16 in the plus minus in 21 minutes. He was 4 of 7 from the field. He had 2 rebounds, 1 assist, 3 steals, and a block. And then 9 points for the backup big man Naz Reid, and 3 for Jordan McLaughlin. Oh, and Jalen Noel had 5 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists. All right, and finally, we can move on to Los Angeles, where the Lakers were defeated by the Dallas Mavericks, 109-104. The Mavericks were, of course, led by Luka Doncic. He had 25 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, and then they also got 16 from Dorian Finney-Smith and 22 from Jalen Brunson. Whereas the Lakers were led by LeBron James, he had 26 points and 12 rebounds. He was very efficient, 10 of 18 from the field. But the rest of the Lakers were not nearly as efficient, which has been a familiar theme throughout this season. Russell Westbrook had 12 points on 5 of 17 shooting. Malik Monk had 17 on 5 of 14 shooting. And then Austin Reaves was 1 of 6 from the field. At least Carmelo Anthony off the bench had 20 points on 6 of 11 shooting. But still, the Lakers were significantly trailing early in this game. They were down by like nearly 20 points in the second quarter. The Mavericks had outscored the Lakers 30-25 in the first, and then 41-31 in the second. So they were just dominant in the first half. And then credit to the Lakers, they came storming back in the third quarter. The Mavericks' offense really stagnated at the beginning of the second half, and they allowed the Lakers to cut the deficit. They outscored the Mavericks 31-14 in the third. So just like that, they were back into this game, and then it was back and forth throughout the fourth. But eventually, the Mavericks Mavericks pulled away late in the fourth. The offense really bogged down for the Lakers in the final half of the fourth quarter. In fact, with about 7 minutes to go in the fourth, they had 100 points, and they only managed to score four more points throughout the rest of the game. So really lackluster performance in the end by the Lakers down the stretch. Overall, they did shoot the ball better than the Mavericks from the three-point line. They were 41% from beyond the arc, the Lakers, whereas the Mavericks were just 28%. But Dallas was better overall. They were 50% from the field, whereas the Lakers were 45%. And they did have 14 turnovers, whereas the Lakers just had 12. But they did dominate on the boards, Mavericks 45-37. So the Mavericks' perimeter play was not their strong suit in this game. The ball handling and the three-point shooting was really letting them down, but it was the interior where they were dominant. The rebounding and the points in the paint, there was five players for the Mavericks who had at least six rebounds. Maxi Kleba off the bench, and then four of the starters, Doncic, Powell, Bullock, and Finney Smith. So a nice resilient win for the Mavericks to stave off that comeback attempt by the Lakers. And they now improve to 37-25 with this win. So that is good for fifth in the Western Conference. They are two games behind the Utah Jazz in fourth. And they're just half a game up on the Denver Nuggets in sixth. And the Mavericks are plus 3.3 in the point differential, which is exactly where they should be. It's fifth best in the conference. They are on a two-game winning streak, and they're 8-2 in their last 10 games. In fact, the Warriors are the only team in the top six of the Western Conference that are not 8-2 in their last 10. That is really remarkable stuff. Whereas the Lakers, with this loss, now fall to 27-34. So like I said, they are down in ninth in the West. They are 4.5 games behind the LA Clippers in eighth. And then they're just two games up on the Pelicans in 10th. And the Lakers are negative 2.0 in the point differential. They're on a three-game losing streak, and they're 3-7 in their last 10. All right, so moving on to the box score. And the Mavs were led, as I mentioned, by who else but Luka Doncic. He has just been incredible in the month of February, and he's continued that in March now. He had 25 points in this game in 38 minutes. He was 9 of 21 from the field, 0 of 5 from 3, and 7 of 11 from the free throw line. So not exactly the most efficient game for Doncic, but he did have 8 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 steal, and 2 blocks. And then he did have 6 turnovers. They got 22 points from Jalen Brunson. He was a lot more efficient. 9 of 15 from the field, 4 of 6 from 3. He had 2 rebounds, 4 assists, and 4 steals. And then they got 16 points from Dorian Finney-Smith. He was 6 of 10 from the field. He had 3 three-pointers, 9 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. 13 for Dwight Powell, the big man, was 4 of 4 from the field in 21 minutes, and he had 7 rebounds. And 7 points for Reggie Bullock, rounding out the starting lineup. He was a little bit less efficient, 2 of 9 from the field. He did have 6 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 1 block, though. And off the bench for the Mavericks, they got 14 points from Spencer Dinwiddie. His fantastic play continues since coming over from the Wizards. In 24 minutes, he was 5 of 11 from the field, and he had 2 threes, 9 assists, and 1 rebound with a block as well. He has just been an incredible add for the Mavericks. And then they also got 6 points from Josh Green in 10 minutes. He was perfect, 3 of 3 from the field, and 6 points as well from Maxi Kleba. He had 7 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, and 2 blocks. Davis Bertans was 0 of 4 from the field in 10 minutes. And as for the Lakers, they were led, as I mentioned, by LeBron James. He had 26 points in 38 minutes. He was pretty much their sole bright spot. 10 of 18 from the field, 3 of 7 from beyond the arc. He had 12 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 steal. But like I said, the rest of the starting lineup was not nearly as efficient. Russell Westbrook was 5 of 17 from the field in 38 minutes. He had 12 points, 6 rebounds, 8 assists, 2 steals. 17 points for Malik Monk, but he was 5 of 14 from the field. He had 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 three-pointers. The rookie Austin Reeves was 1 of 6 from the field in 17 minutes. He had just 2 points. Stanley Johnson was actually okay, though. He had 11 points on 4 of 6 shooting in 22 minutes. And off the bench for the Lakers, they got 20 points from Carmelo Anthony. He just keeps chugging along in 31 minutes. He was 6 of 11 from the field. He had 3 threes, 3 rebounds, 1 assist, 3 steals, and a block. So actually, pretty solid contributions from Anthony off the bench. And then they got 8 points from Talen Horton Tucker in 33 minutes. He was 3 of 6 from the field, negative 13 in the plus minus. That was a team low. 6 points for Kent Bazemore in 17 minutes, and just 2 points for Dwight Howard. All right, and that will do it for our box score breakdown. So we can now move on to fantasy. The standout and surprising fantasy lines of the night. We had a couple of pretty good options. Nobody was really head and shoulders above the rest. There was Jason Tatum dropping 33 and 8 rebounds in 39 minutes against the Hawks. Scottie Barnes had another solid double-double, 18 points and 10 rebounds. Jalen Brunson had an efficient 22 points, and then Karl Anthony Towns was probably the closest contender to standout line of the night. He had 39 points, 9 rebounds, and 1 assist. He was 14 of 22 from the field. He didn't have any steals or blocks, though, so ultimately, we're going to go with LeBron James for standout line of the night. It was just a well-rounded line, despite coming in a loss. He had 26 points, 12 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 steal. He was 10 of 18 from the field, 3 of 7 from the 3-point line, and he was 3 of 5 from the free throw line. Now, he didn't have any blocks. He had 4 turnovers, so not exactly the most dominant line that you've ever seen, but there just wasn't really that many other good options other than Karl Anthony Towns. He could have gone with either one of them, Towns or LeBron, frankly, but we ended up going with LeBron, mostly because of the assists and that one steal. And as for surprising line of the night, we're going to go with Ivica Zubats. Now, this was an obvious pick, and he was definitely also in contention for standout line of the night. In fact, he was definitely giving both of those guys a run for his money, but we wanted to spread their love around a little bit. So Zubats is going to be the surprising line of the night. He had 22 points in 25 minutes, and he was very efficient. 8 of 12 from the field, 6 of 7 from the free throw line. He had 12 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, and 1 block. Just a nice, well-rounded line from Zubats. On the season, he's only averaging, about 10 points, 8 rebounds, 1 assist, half a steal, 1 block. So pretty solid numbers in only 24 minutes. So to be fair, this wasn't that far above his season averages apart from the points. He basically doubled his season average on the points. But it was just a very efficient, dominant performance from Zubats in limited minutes. So he's going to be your surprising line of the night. And LeBron James is going to be your standout line of the night. All right, and with that, we can move on now to our preview for tonight, Wednesday, March the 2nd. And we've got another slate of games on in the NBA. I think we have 9 games on the schedule, or maybe 8. So starting off in Cleveland, the Cavaliers are taking on the Charlotte Hornets, and the Cavs are -4. In Orlando, the Magic are taking on the Indiana Pacers, and the Pacers are slight favorites. They are -1. In Philadelphia, the 76ers take on the New York Knicks, James Harden's third game as a member of the 76ers, and they are big favorites. They are -10.5. In Houston, the Rockets are taking on the Jazz, and the Jazz are huge favorites. They are -14. In Milwaukee, the Bucks take on the Miami Heat, and the Bucks are favorites. They are -4.5. In New Orleans, the Pelicans take on the Sacramento Kings, and the Pels are -6. In Denver, the Nuggets are taking on the OKC Thunder, and the Nuggets are huge favorites, -14.5. And finally, in Phoenix, the Suns are also big favorites. They are -13 against the Portland Trailblazers. All right, so some huge lines across the NBA tonight. The Jazz -14, the Nuggets -14.5, the Suns -13, and then the 76ers -10.5. That is like half of the games tonight are expected to be huge blowouts. I'm a little bit tempted by a couple of those. Specifically, I think I would go with the OKC Thunder +14.5, just because that line is gigantic, and the Thunder have a propensity to keep it close every once in a while with Shea playing as well as he has. He was like dominant in their last game, but ultimately, I think I'm going to stay away from all of those big lines. I think we've just got one best bet for today. I was also tempted by the Indiana Pacers -1 against the Magic. Orlando has been playing well recently. They are actually on a 2-game winning streak, whereas the Pacers are just 2-8 in their last 10. But the Pacers do have a lot of talented guys like Tyrese Haliburton and Buddy Hield. They've been playing very well since coming over from the Kings. So I'm tempted by the Pacers, but they let me down the last time I went with them. And overall, I just don't think they're really deserving of much faith at the moment. So anyways, I'm going to stay away from that one. Ultimately, we just got the one best bet for today, and it's going to be the Miami Heat +4.5 in Milwaukee. We have bet on the Heat several times recently, and they've come through for us every time. They're just on fire at the moment. They're on top of the Eastern Conference. They are +4.8 in the point differential, which is second best in the conference. They are on a 4-game winning streak, and they're 9-1 in their last 10. So the Heat, now that they've got all four of their big four back in the lineup, Bam Adebayo, Jimmy Butler, Kyle Lowry, and then Tyler Hero off the bench, they have just been totally dominant. Whereas the Bucks, on the other hand, just cannot ever seem to get any momentum going this season. They are 6-4 in their last 10. Every time it seems like they're going to turn things around, they have another disappointing loss. And I don't know, I just don't really have enough faith in the Bucks right now to warrant a -4.5 favorite over the number one team in the Eastern Conference, the Heat. And there's definitely some history between these two teams, considering the Bucks' sweep of the Heat in last year's playoffs, and then the Heat beating the Bucks in the bubble playoffs the year before that. So I think this will be a close game. I think the Heat can definitely win it, but at the very least, I think they can keep it close. So I will take the Heat +4.5 in Milwaukee. And that's going to be our only best bet for today. So thank you so much for tuning in. If you'd like to follow the show on social, we are at NBA Recap Pod, or you can just search YouTube or smart speakers for NBA Recap Podcast. We'll be back tomorrow to recap all of those games and to preview the action for Thursday, March the 3rd. Until then, thanks for tuning in.